Sanders, what is your lucky number guess?
37.
The winning is so easy. You could be next.
500 clams the easy way.
Listen for the cue to call for your shot at $500 cash. KABC.
Los Angeles.
Orange County. A Cumulus station.
KABC News live and local at 10 o'clock. I'm John Wolf. Wait long enough at any canyon, sooner or later there's going to be a mudslide, and the mudslide triggered overnight by overnight rain has forced the closure of a big section of Topanga Canyon right near Malibu. CHP says that the mudslide affected Topanga between Pacific Coast Highway and Grandview Drive. I know you're surprised. SIG alert's been issued. That closure could last up to 2 days as they dig it out. Local high school students stood up and walked out of class yesterday demanding gun reform a month after 17 were killed during the Florida school shooting. James Rojas reviews it.
The Parkland, Florida shooting is why 15-year-old Jillian Palacios and her classmates at Santa Ana High School are now politically motivated.
We have the right to express our opinions, and we also have a voice.
They demand change.
It's bigger than just school shootings. It's more of making sure that we as a society are protected by ensuring that incidents like these don't happen again.
Jillian and her classmates marched around the campus while talking with students in Florida via Skype. James Rojas, KABC News.
And while our ambassador to the UN, the always outspoken Nikki Haley, wants to see Russia called on the carpet for alleged poisoning incidents, the White House has now called for sanctions against the motherland for 2016 election meddling in the U.S. This includes more than a dozen people indicted in February by Robert Mueller. Additionally, there are reports that our friends to the east have been behind attempts to disrupt our electrical grids and water supply services. And if you Google the term rubber stamp, you just might see a picture of the Department of Water and Power's alleged consumer watchdog, who apparently has never met a rate increase or salary hike he didn't like, or so it appears anyway, and he may have to answer up for it. A Southern California-based consumer group says it wants to replace the DWP's Fred Pickle, saying he's cost L.A. utility customers nearly $7 billion, with a B. Ken Jeffries reports.
It's the upshot of a report from Consumer Watchdog detailing what the group considers Fred Pickle's faulty advice and failure to stand in the way of what it calls costly projects and rate hikes. Pickle was appointed in February 2012. The term has since expired, and he's working on a month-to-month contract. He declined to directly comment on the report, but said he trusts the city's Office of Public Accountability to judge his work. Ken Jeffries, KABC News.
This report is being sponsored by Heal.com. Now, the driver suspected of running down a 10-year-old boy at a Riverside County crosswalk as his mother turned himself in last night.
26-year-old David Loparina was arrested by investigators after turning himself in for allegedly fleeing the fatal scene. Neighbor Kathy Aldred spoke to NBC 4 News.
I've been here 2 years, and I found streets I've even parked elsewhere I didn't even know existed, looking for a red truck. It's just showing respect for the family that no child should be disregarded that way.
A memorial was set up at Sumner Avenue where Antonio Ochoa was struck by a red truck Tuesday evening and his body carried 25 yards down the road as the driver continued on. I'm Rob Marinko, KABC News.
Let's check 790 KABC Sports. The NCAA tourney gets going for real today, and all my teams will probably lose within the first 15 minutes. Your LA Kings host Detroit tonight, 6:30 is when you can tune it in on 790 KABC. Clippers are at Houston tonight. Lakers host Miami tomorrow night, and the Ducks host Detroit tomorrow night. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and Peter Tilden next. Let's check traffic. 710 northbound, problems at Alondra on the shoulder, and then a jackknife semi up at the 105, and traffic backed up past Rosecrans. 710 northbound and southbound HOV lanes blocked as we get some road work in the HOV lanes until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And again, Topanga shut down between PCH and Grandview. KABC SoCal weather, cloudy, upper 50s to mid-60s. Tonight, it's going to be cloudy again, upper 40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow, chance of rain increases throughout the day. Right now, we've got 52 in Encino, 57 in Anaheim, 56 in downtown L.A. Get news at the top, the bottom, breaking news as it happens, and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm John Wolf, Talk Radio 790, KABC News. Howard is your place, Southern California's choice for appliances, TVs, and mattresses since 1946 with a 60-day price guarantee and that all-important next-day delivery. Visit Howard's.com for the showroom nearest you. Howard, 72 years of making your house a home. KABC News, sponsored by Howard's.
What's up, Doc?
Hey, this is Dr. Drew.
This is Lauren Savant.
And on the next Midday Live, we'll take your calls. And, Lauren, I'm just so upset that Judy Garland was molested by munchkins. Disturbing. I had bad dreams about it last night.
I don't think they want you to call them munchkins. Oh. I think they like little people.
The little people put their hands up the teenager's dress, and right. That was bothering me last night.
Little perverts, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they were. That's what they were. That and more on the next Midday Live, Dr. Lawrence Vaughn on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
What kind of a show is this?
It's educational and offers mild thrills.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Good morning. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. We're brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. The phone number 800-222-5222. We have a lot to get to. I say that every day, but we do have a lot to get to. We're going to talk about some local politics that involves you. Right now, however, there's some big stuff happening in Washington as far as increasing sanctions or putting sanctions on Russia for a number of things. Joining us is Reed Wilson, national correspondent for The Hill and author of The Hill's Changing America series. Good morning, Reed. How are you?
Hey, Peter. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So the Russian sanctions, the Trump administration announced Russian sanctions. This comes on the heels of the UK throwing out 23 Russian diplomats deemed undeclared intelligence officers because of the nerve attack on a former Russian agent and his daughter. And now also we hear that they also disclosed a Russian attempt to penetrate the U.S. energy grid. So this has been coming for a long time. Why today? Do you think the U.K. thing pushed it over the edge?
I think it's clear that the action by the U.K. government has sort of forced the Americans to respond in kind. I mean, remember, Congress passed a sanctions measure on Russia middle of last year. President Trump decided not to impose a lot of those sanctions, actually any of those sanctions. That raised some eyebrows, but this is sort of the step over the line, the one that they just can't come back from. You know, it's not a great thing to be poisoning somebody on NATO soil.
Yeah, and also going after our cyber. So what do we anticipate, Reed, that Russia's going to do back? I mean, you got an election coming up, which of course Putin will win in a week. He loves pointing out the West as adversaries because that's part of his plan. That's the election message that he puts out. So what does he do back? I know the UK can only do so much because with the European Union, there's a cooperation issue there. There already are severe sanctions in place. What happens now from a Russian perspective? What does he do?
Right. I mean, look, this is all good for Vladimir Putin, right? He's running a nationalistic campaign, and he's trying to position himself as the savior of Russia against the forces of the West.
Right.
For electoral purposes, that's great for him. What does he do next when the U.S. kicked out a bunch of Russian diplomats from the San Francisco consul and shuttered a couple of facilities on the East Coast? Russia responded by dramatically cutting the number of personnel allowed to serve at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that happening to the United Kingdom, further slashing their delegates to Moscow. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is something that plays into Vladimir Putin's hands, and the Russians have gotten pretty rote at responding to something like this. They tend to call it a hoax. They tend to blame the host government, whether it's the UK or the US, and they just move on from there. The Russian media is obviously a lot less free than our media is, and they toe the party line.
It's almost, I'm smiling as they're saying this, I shouldn't be, it's almost like this is their campaign advertising. They prepare this before the election, and this is how he promotes his election worldwide, as far as the global victim now. Look at how they're painting us.
Right, and let's not forget that this Russian spy traded in the spy swap has been in the UK for, what, 7-8 years now. Why now? Well, Vladimir Putin's got an election on Sunday.
By the way, I understand, too, that the UK seems to be a hotbed of activity over there because they've got a lot of agents, Russian agents over there, because there were so many expats and billionaires and oligarchs who have invested in real estate. That Putin wants to keep an eye on A, his allies, and B, his enemies over there. So I hear there's a record number of Russians over there who are spying on their own people and, of course, the government of Britain.
You know, I think the weather in Moscow is probably pretty much the same as the weather in London. So they're, when they're looking for a new home, well, hey, why not? Just stick with the same weather.
All right, closer to home now. You know, we've hear about these cabinet changes, that the president now is on a tear and wants to change his cabinet, whether A, he feels comfortable, he's settled into 14 months, that he kind of knows what he wants. He feels that he's being restricted by certain members of the cabinet, and now it's time to purge the cabinet. Are you hearing also that there's more to come? I mean, we're smelling and reading and seeing Jeff Sessions potentially. H.R. McMaster, we've been hearing for quite some time. Ryan Zinke in the Homeland Department. I'm trying to think of Betsy DeVos potentially, because they were embarrassed by her interviews the other day on 60 Minutes, where she didn't seem to know that much about her hometown schools. And I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I missed. Oh, even the son-in-law, even Jared and Ivanka, not because he's mad at them, but because he feels they're taking so much heat, in the media. Is that
yes,
possible that they could make that many changes at this point?
Well, I think this is the president's approach to a lot of things. He's not terribly good at firing people in person, but he's great at firing people by tweet. I wouldn't be surprised if the next person to go is David Shulkin. He's the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, the only holdover from the Obama administration, not exactly a partisan guy, just somebody who was trying to fix the agency. Shulkin has faced some really nasty fights with Trump administration appointees in his own department. There are even some guys who are trying to force him out pretty publicly. It's a remarkable thing. If this were, you know, any normal administration that weren't so beset by controversy, we'd all be talking about this Veterans Affairs situation. But Shulkin, I think, is likely to go. The name that has been promoted to replace him is a guy named Pete Hegseth. He's a Fox News contributor who also used to run the Koch Brothers Group, the Concerned Veterans or Conservative Veterans for America. He has widely different views from Shulkin on privatizing a bunch of VA offices. And so because of that, and because Shulkin has become such a focal point, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the next to go.
Interesting. And I should mention, because the headline is, yeah, Fox and Friends host, because it sounds like he's putting a lightweight in there because he watches it on TV. He may be the right guy, maybe the wrong guy, but he is Princeton University grad and has got a master's in public policy from the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Also was an officer in the U.S. Army National Guard. So it's not like he's not credentialed, but that's a big organization to be dropped into to try and clean up, because they've got lots and lots of issues.
Yeah, and the last several secretaries have been dealing with this sprawling bureaucracy that is the VA, whether it's the Trump administration, the Obama administration, even going back to the Bush administration, the problems in VA are systemic and they're really massive. So can somebody who has never actually worked in government come in and shake that up? Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know, but it clearly has not worked for the last decade and a half.
Hey, Reed, getting back to the changes at home in the Oval Office, with Pompeo, Mr. Pompeo in there, will he be is that an easy confirmation? I hear a couple guys are saying no, not so fast, because of his hawkish attitude, and also his replacement at CIA, not quite so fast, Gina Haspel. Is that going to be a tough confirmation for both of them?
Yeah, and the person to watch in that is Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, a conservative, obviously sort of more libertarian side. Paul has some big problems with the approaches the CIA has taken to, you know, the enhanced interrogation techniques during the Bush administration, which is something that Gina Haspel was actually involved in the days after September 11th, and Mike Pompeo has not come out terribly against those procedures, even though he said he would not implement them again when he was running the CIA. So there are going to be debates on the Senate floor. The confirmation hearings are not going to be rubber stamped. But at the end of the day, if Rand Paul is the only Republican who comes out against them, then you can imagine a few Democrats moving over to support Secretary Pompeo, or soon to be Secretary Pompeo. Gina Haspel is a different story. A lot of Democrats are going to come out against her as well. Remember, Republicans only have a one seat majority, 51-49 in the Senate. So if Paul is joined by some other people who have moral objections to the torture techniques that the CIA used, then I think her confirmation could be pretty difficult.
But what's interesting with the Democrats, if they raise too much of a stink, what's going to be brought up is in the Obama administration, they look the other way for the entire tenure of that administration as far as the torture. I mean, Obama's, I think his line was, let's move forward, or let's look forward, and really had opportunities to go after some of these people and didn't.
Well, that's not entirely the case. There was a CIA report that was delivered to Congress, and the really fascinating thing here is Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, who is the ranking Democrat on the intelligence or on the relevant committee there, and she had been a big defender of Gina Haspel and the CIA.
Right.
Now she faces a pretty significant challenge from the left in Kevin DeLeon. You know all about that. I'm sure you guys are covering that race nonstop. But you know, is Dianne Feinstein going to give in to the politics of the moment and raise objections that she maybe, I mean, she definitely raised the objections in the past, but she didn't really stop anybody from being appointed.
No kidding. Yeah, in a big way, as a matter of fact, that's going to be pointed out. Moving on to like you said, elections. We had the Pennsylvania election, and you had Mr. Lamb win the election. The Republicans found out or discerned that the tax cut message was not a winning message. I guess they figured it out, or if there's more moving parts to that, but it looks like the tax cut thing may not be a winning message. And then they went after Nancy Pelosi as potentially a winning message. I keep hearing about this second wave of tax cuts that's coming. Is that coming as optics going into the midterms? So in other words, you can say to the American people, there's more tax cuts, there's more relief, there's more benefit to you. And do you know what's in those tax cuts?
Nobody does. Nobody knows what the proposal is going to be. It is clear that the Republicans based their entire campaign on trying to brag about these tax cuts that have just been implemented. And a lot of people, and you know, Conor Lamb, the Democratic candidate who ended up winning, was opposed to those tax cuts. So it looks like that is not a winning message for Republicans. Neither was Nancy Pelosi, the bugaboo that she used to be, because she had, well, Conor Lamb said that he opposed her. I think one of the fascinating things about this election is this may hasten the end of Nancy Pelosi's control over the House Democratic.
Oh, please. Oh, please, Reed. You're going to have to pry the money out of her dead cold hand. Do you know how much money she raises for the party? They're going to throw a blockade. And they're not going to let anybody near her. She's like an ATM.
That's a huge challenge for Democrats. It always has been. How do you replace those tens of millions of dollars that she brings in every year? You know, there are some young Dems who can raise the money waiting in the wings, but do they have the stature that she does? Certainly not within the party.
Well, and the funny thing is, during the school walkout yesterday, I don't know if you saw in Washington, D.C., did you see who the superstar was at the walkout? Bernie Sanders. Yeah, they saw Bernie and they started screaming, or anybody who looked like Bernie, white hair and glasses, they started screaming. Because he's a rock star. So I don't know if Bernie's going to be in the race at age 827 or Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden's out there holding hands and helping candidates. He says he's not going to run. I can't imagine. But I don't know who else they're grooming to be the right person. And you're right. They need a changing of the guard there in the message, not just a negative Trump message at this point. And speaking of the president, so he spoke in Missouri at a fundraiser the other night. And the big story all over the news is that he pulled out of his pants, basically, out of his, you know what, the claim that there's a trade deficit with Canada, and everybody's saying there is not a trade deficit with Canada. Can you give us more context on that story?
Sure. So this was a fundraiser held up in Beverly Hills at some, you know, private muckety-mucks. The big fancy home. He made a comment about how in conversation with the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that he had said, well, hey, we're running a trade deficit with Canada, without actually knowing that that was the case. Now, it happens to be the case, but that's not exactly how diplomacy usually works, especially with a group that, you know, a country that is in fact our closest ally.
And also, he was campaigning in Missouri for Josh Hawley. Who's an incumbent Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill, who's going after her. And he did kind of the same thing in campaigning. He didn't talk about Josh Hawley that much, the same thing that happened with Saccone the other night. How do you ask the president, maybe you shouldn't come? At what point do they say that, and how do they say that nicely?
Well, you know, this is the same problem that Democrats faced in 2010 and 2014 when they had a winning coalition at the national level that got President Obama elected, but that national coalition didn't always show up to actually vote for people with the same party label that President Obama had. So now the Republicans are facing it with Trump. The difference is what we've seen in cases like Jeff Flake in Arizona, Bob Corker in Tennessee, that if the Republicans effectively try to distance themselves from Trump, they're going to anger their own base more than they are going to appeal to the middle. And that hurts when a president's popularity or approval rating is somewhere in the mid to high 30s. So Republicans are really between a rock and a hard place here as they head into the midterms.
Also, what's the take on Larry Kudlow? Larry Kudlow is supposed to be the new economic advisor replacing Mr. Cohen. As I'm reading about him, learning more about him, forget that he's on TV, but apparently he missed the 2008 downturn. He kept saying all through the beginning of it, nope, it's going to turn around. It's a bubble. These people are bubble heads. They're wrong. They don't know what they're doing, and got it wrong and got quite a few other things wrong. Economists get things wrong. You know, people who try and diagnose the market get things wrong, but this guy's going to be there as an economic advisor. Is he solid? Is he not solid? And what are people saying?
Well, Larry Kudlow seems to be like he's cut like perfectly out of the Trump cloth, right? He's on TV a lot. That's how people know him, and it seems to be the way that President Trump gets to know somebody these days. Yeah, he missed the bubble. I don't know if a lot of people missed the bubble. I don't cover economics, but the fact is, what's that old line? Like, you get 10 economists in a room and you'll get 11 different opinions about the economy. So who knows about that? But the fact that he's on TV and is the sort of the talking head, that seems to me to be just the factor that gets Trump over the line. If somebody is a good presenter on television, the president will have seen him or her and will probably offer them a job.
Amazing. And then Stormy Daniels' lawyer says other women are considering legal cases against Trump. Stormy Daniels' mother, however, came out and said that she hopes her child's supposed affair with the president doesn't hurt his future reelection hopes, because she's a huge Trump fan and estranged from Stormy. Surprise. So that's in the news too. Is that going to become anything, the Stormy Daniels thing? Is that moving forward? I know there's going to be a hearing in July at some point, but are they going to continue to be an irritant and continue to go on all the shows?
I have been surprised that this story has stuck around as long as it has. This is an administration that seems to bounce between scandals, to move from one scandal to the next. And this one has had more legs than I thought it would, no pun intended, I suppose. it's really hard not to make puns when you're talking about this story, right? Yes. But the fact is, it has stuck around longer than I expected it to, and maybe that does give it some legs in the future.
I love her, because we're hearing from a lot of lawyers. Her lawyer appears to be smart, but I love that when they asked him about payment, he said he's not charging her for all of the TV appearances. And I thought, isn't that nice of you? You're building your career, and it's nice that you've chosen not to charge her, although she's doing a crowdfunding thing, and I don't know how much she has now, but she had quite a bit of money that she had raised already, like $90,000, and they figure it could go into seven figures, and then there should be scrutiny about where that money. I would wonder where that money goes. Reed, thanks so much for coming on, giving us some insight. National correspondent for The Hill, author of The Hill's Changing America series, and his Twitter's @politicsReid, R-E-I-D. And The Hill, of course, is thehill.com, and I hope to talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, man. See ya.
Yeah, you take it easy. So lots going on there. And by the way, from a positive standpoint, the Business Roundtable, member companies, announced more than $75 billion in additional business investment over the next 5 years in the U.S. So there's stuff that you could be touting, but we've got so much other stuff moving around. And Larry Kudlow, if you look him up, it's just funny looking at how many times he missed the 2008 crisis. I'm sure a lot of other people did, but he was on TV giving advice, in July, missed it, December, missed it, and it kept, as it was getting worse and worse, but it's a bubble, it's going to correct, no, it's the Bush bump, he kept saying stuff, and oopsie, got that one wrong big time. 800-222-5222, Peter Tilden at 10, continues right after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Oh, Stormy. Oh, Stormy. Bring back that Saturday.
Talk Radio 790. KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. I haven't heard the song in 8 million years. Wow. So, pretty interesting. Wells Fargo, remember what they did? They admitted to creating up to 3.5 million fake accounts. Remember that? Forcing customers like you and me into unneeded auto insurance and charging mortgage borrowers all kinds of undue fees. Remember that? And they got fined heavy penalties for the widespread consumer abuses. So when that happens at a bank and they get punished that dramatically. What happens to the CEO? Does he leave? Does he get a slap on the hand? Does he get a pay cut? No, he gets a 36% bonus for all the great work he's done. I want that job. I want that job. Anyway, he got CEO Tim Sloan got a 36% raise after one of the darkest years in the bank's history. And he's not getting it in cash. He's getting it in benefits down the road. His total compensation climbed to $17.4 million compared with almost $13 million in 2006. The amazing thing is, what's happening in banking now, though, Dodd-Frank is loosening restrictions on banks, right? And they're saying because the restrictions are too tough for these banks. They just, it doesn't leave them any breathing room to grow, except that when you look at Sloan's raise last year, it's far less than the other banks, what they made last year, like the CEO of Citi. He made $23 million last year. Goldman Sachs chief Lloyd Blankfein made $24 million. Bank of America boss Brian Moynihan received $22 million. You know why? Because it was a record year for banks. They made a fortune. So are you and I, were we campaigning for, hey, please get rid of Dodd-Frank because we don't need oversight on banks because nothing could go wrong there. We wouldn't have to bail them out again, right? So these guys are, man, they are playing it right. They must have the greatest lobbyist. They made so much money. And yet they're getting more and more relief, and they are getting bonuses up the wazoo. So congratulations. Thanks. Can you imagine if you did an unbelievable job and they didn't get fined and they didn't do widespread consumer abuses? He would get a gazillion billion dollars. I mean, just, there's not enough money in the world if he did a really good job. You do a crappy job and you oversee a bank that makes money, but it's fine that way, and you get a 36% increase. So congratulations, sir. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
KABC News live and local at 10:30. I'm John Wolf. President Trump's reported plan to shake up his cabinet and other advisors is facing headwinds from members of Congress and from inside his own administration. President Trump claims some news stories about the changes are just that, story.
Well, the story was very false. I mean, they wrote a story about staff changes today that was very false. We made a wonderful change. I think Mike Pompeo is going to be an incredible Secretary of State. We have some wonderful ideas. I've gotten to know a lot of people over the last year. You know, I've been to Washington for a little bit more than a year, where some people have been here for 30, 40 years. I've gotten to know great people.
The nation's top emergency manager is sounding the alarm on Capitol Hill, telling a House Homeland Security panel that last year's storm, flood, and wildfire disasters proved the U.S. needs to do more to prepare. FEMA Administrator Brock Long is also urging lawmakers to streamline emergency responses to serve people in the path of disasters.
It's a slow, cumbersome process that slows recovery down. I'm asking to do away with the majority of the inspection process and use technology and trust the disaster survivor rather than set up risk-averse systems to protect solely for fraud that draws the system out.
And here's something that'll surprise you. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi didn't have anything good to say about the border wall prototypes that the president looked at.
The wall that big separating people? I mean, really? I guess maybe I've seen too many walls. I saw the wall in Northern Ireland years ago before the agreement, and it was strange to see. And that was like a tin fence. This is a big wall.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. NCAA tourney gets underway for real today. Your LA Kings host Detroit tonight. You can tune in the pregame show at 6:30 on 790 KABC. Clippers play at Houston tonight. That'll be tough. Lakers host Miami tomorrow. Ducks host Detroit tomorrow. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more of Peter Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1032.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site according to ComScore total visits.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
How would you like $50 to try an app that could change your life?
For a limited time, when you download the Tackle app for free, you'll get $50 off your first job. Tackle gives you access to background-checked providers ready to make your life better. Have your house cleaned, yard mowed, junk hauled away, handyman or honeydew repairs done, furniture put together, or hang a TV. Really, whatever small jobs or chores you need taken care of, Tackle can do. Need it done now? Most jobs can be finished in an hour or two. Ready for someone to help make your life easier? There are hundreds of pre-priced chores you can tackle today. This is a limited time offer, so don't miss out. If you need a small job or chore done, then download the free Tackle app now. Get $50 off your first job. Let Tackle show you how great it feels to get your to-do list done. That's Tackle, T-A-K-L.
Talk Radio 790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it most. Our big problems on the 710 northbound appear to have cleared out, if not completely cleared up. But on the 710 northbound and southbound at Washington, HOV lanes have road work going on until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Topanga shut down in both directions between PCH and Grandview, possibly through tomorrow. 405 northbound at Long Beach Boulevard, they were trying to clear an accident out of the left lane. Had things slow from the 605. I'm John Wolf with Talk Radio 790 KABC Traffic.
Oh, Steve, you're killing me here. The association and Cherish? I'm going to let this play out and light a lighter. Wow. What happened to the association? By the way, anybody in the association out there, 800-225-222, they disassociate with each other? All right, so we broke the story yesterday that a bulldog was put in an overhead compartment and died. After a flight attendant on United Airlines made the family do it. It's back and forth about whether the flight attendant knew there was a dog in there. I can't imagine that they did. Who would put a puppy in an overhead compartment? And what person would allow their dog to be put in an overhead compartment? Doesn't make sense. Don't know if we'll get clarity on this story, but what I do know is a senator from Louisiana, Senator John Kennedy, Louisiana Republican, said, I'll be filing a bill tomorrow, this was last night, that will prohibit airlines from putting animals in overhead bins. I didn't know this was a thing. I've never seen it before, never heard about it. Violators will face significant fines. Pets are family. Again, the pet died in the overhead. Tragic. The airline apologized. He also called the president of United Airlines demanding an explanation for the number of animals that have died in United's care. Last year, they led the way with 18 animals that died. United said that a lot of those animals had pre-existing conditions, and that's what took them down, not conditions on an airline. I got to tell you, my dog is so neurotic that if you put him on a plane in a cargo hold, between the heat changes, all of the noise, stuff banging around, I don't know that he would make it. United also, by the way, aside from putting the dog up in the baggage bin, they also sent a family's dog to Japan instead of Kansas. Can you imagine that? You get off the flight. You got a Great Dane sitting there, and the family goes, we had a German Shepherd. They sent the dog. Now he may have to go. Can you imagine how long that flight is? Layovers, whatever. And this poor dog now, it may have to be quarantined as he's sent overseas. So they apologized again for the mix-up. I love that the airline worker said the kennels look similar. You don't check names, flight numbers, whatever. They just look similar, so you put them on an international flight. So United has this pet safe program, which is kind of interesting because other airlines will not fly pets. I think JetBlue will not fly pets in their cargo hold. I would not put my pet in a cargo hold, and I'm sure a lot of you listening have done it because there's no other way to get the pet around. I'm an idiot. I would buy him a seat because I couldn't imagine what's going on underneath there in the cargo hold. Again, United says a lot of these pets died from natural causes. You start looking into this and you see all kinds of other stuff that went on. One guy saw a pet on the tarmac after he checked the pet in 95 degree heat sitting out there for a half an hour with the baggage. Which is really, really dangerous. The cabin is so much safer than the cargo hold, even if your pet can't fit under the seat. I guess it's got to go in cargo hold unless it's an emotional care animal. So I would first of all, look for nonstop flights. You got to not do it on a really hot or cold day. Put some food in there or tape some extra food on the case just in case. I just don't trust them to go down there. There are 830 cat deaths per 10,000 and 790 dog deaths per 10,000 when they're shipped that way. And again, poor ventilation down there, rough handling. You get a baggage handler who doesn't care that much, and they abuse the pet by handling the crate badly. Or if it's really hot or cold, you wouldn't keep your pet in a car that's that hot. PETA, meanwhile, says that JetBlue and Southwest prohibit companion animals from being flown as checked baggage because of all the confusion, the noise, the extreme temperatures, improper pressurization of a cargo hold. And I get it. I don't know that pets are cargo. Some have frozen to death because a climate control system fails. Or some have heat prostration because they're on the tarmac too long. I was on a plane to Detroit. We sat on tarmac 4 hours. Your pet's downstairs in the cargo hold. They don't let you go down and take the pet out. So I think, again, the safest way is to take your pet. I don't know what you do if your pet is too big and can't go under the seat. But I guess they're going to be looking at these rules more closely and scrutinize them more closely. United can't, they can't risk having another animal mishap at this point. And when you got a senator like this who loves his dogs that mad, it's going to stay in the news for some time. The interesting thing about the people with the little bulldog that died, they paid $125 to have the pet on the plane with them. If I paid, I got on the plane and they said put the dog up, there, you would be taking me off. You'd be hearing me yell, "Don't tase me, bro," because there's no way I'm putting that in the overhead. I'm just standing there until they take me off, saying, "Look, I paid. The pet is going where I said it's going. And if you have any other reason that it shouldn't go there, you take me off the plane. And I'm going to cry holy heaven and go on the news." I mean, this is insane. What did you take my money for? You should have told me ahead of time. So something doesn't smell right. There are conflicting reports by passengers behind that person who said the flight attendant didn't know. One said the flight attendant didn't know. I can't imagine that they knew because it was a death sentence. But I don't know. If you want to talk about this, how do you fly your pets? Every one of you has a pet. What do you do? Or do you just not move, or you take your pet on vacation? Or if you have to relocate, what do you do with your pet? I guess you drive it across country. I would do that. I would do that rather than risk my pet dying in a cargo hold. I would definitely do that. As far as the new bill that prevents airlines from putting pets in an overhead bin, I'd never heard of pets being put in an overhead bin before. I didn't know that that's even a thing. But I guess there's going to be a bill that prohibits them from putting pets in the overhead, which I think is a good thing, because even though I didn't know it existed, at least it won't happen again if it's passed as a bill. All right, 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a Peter Tilden News Quiz. We haven't done one of those in a long time. Next hour, for tickets to see Jackson Brown or Carrot Top, I'll tell you when to call to play the Peter Tilden News Quiz. Look at that. Let's talk to Mary on Coronado Island. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Peter. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a couple comments about that poor dog that passed away on that flight. Number one, when I saw one of the young girl that was on the news interviewing her, the mom that brought on the dog with a couple kids, the little girl just said, "They told us, you know, put it up there, and we put it up there." I had partly to blame for the mother not speaking up, saying, "I brought a live animal on." I will not do that. I will keep the dog under my seat. I blame them. Maybe she has too many plates spinning in there to take.
Okay,
care
all right.
Of
are you dog? Are you dog or cat owner?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay.
I'm from Philly, like you.
Oh, I can hear it. I love the Philly accent. I love it.
And I live in California, and I've driven animals across country. I will not ever.
Okay, so you're that person. Place. See, I don't know. I love my dog, but I don't know if I love him 3,000 miles enough to drive him. But I wouldn't put him in a hold. And by the way, I would not put him. How many people? I wonder how many people listening right now would actually put their dog in an overhead bin. I don't think it was the weirdest story, because anybody who loves a dog would say no. I don't understand that. There's a disconnect there that makes no sense. And now he wants to pass a bill about putting dogs in overhead bins. I've never seen it before, never heard of it before. And like you just said, there's no way that's happening. They would have to tase me and take me off the plane.
I think that airline stewardess should go up in that cabinet and see how long she would last.
Now I can hear your feeling. This is what Philly sounds like. This is why they Crisco the light post, because we get very upset and then we get completely vindictive. And thank you. It's good hearing your voice, Mary.
Thank you, Peter. Love the show.
You take it easy.
thank you. Bye-bye.
Call periodically, even if you have nothing to say, just so I can hear your Philly accent, all right? Makes me feel good.
Will do.
You take it easy. Well, I love that. Rob in Santa Monica. You're on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Yeah, hey, Peter. Something doesn't smell right here. I'm wondering if anybody saw the dog alive before they brought it on the plane.
You mean the dog could have passed away while they were transporting it and didn't know?
No, the dog could have passed away that morning at the house the day before, a week before, I don't know.
And they would have schlepped a dead dog to the airport to transport a dead puppy? I don't know about that.
They might be wanting to sue the airline for the death of the dog.
Well, the lawsuit is coming. You realize the lawsuit is coming. Thank you. I don't know that anybody schlepped a dead dog to the... you know what? This story, it doesn't make sense. I don't know if we're ever going to hear what really, really happened, but all I know is, just like my friend from Philly who just called, they would have had to, it really would have had to take me out. And I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not aggressive, but I would have fought and fought and fought to the end and said, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Get the pilot out here. There's no way you put a dog up in an overhead bin. It just doesn't make sense. All right. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Till the 10 continues. The phone number 800-222-5222. We're going to play the Peter Till the News Quiz. Have not done that in forever. And you can win tickets to see Jackson Brown at the Greek Theater or Carrot Top at the Saban. We'll do that next hour. Also, the fun and easy to play 790 KBC $500 high-low game is back. Dropping big money 6, 9, noon, and 3. Win some real cash. Plus, just for playing, you get a gift card for Bristol Farms, your Southern California local food store since 1982. The KBC $500 high-low game. Doug and Leanne had a winner, and you can be next. Keep track of the guesses to have an even better chance to win. It literally pays to listen to 790 KABC. So coming up, I want to do some local issues. You like where the city's going? We got this Vision Zero, and I'll tell you a bit of the update on Vision Zero, how that's working out. We also have all these ride shares. They want to make us Amsterdam. So you see all those bike rentals and ride shares? How is that working out? We got some new retirees from the city of Gardena and Pasadena and Riverside. And I think you would want to be one of them because the pension there is amazing. And the middle class is on the decline in L.A. They're moving out because they just can't afford to live here. And I'll tell you who's moving and why they're moving. So lots of issues to talk about locally. I also want to address the Toys R Us thing, because if you're a parent, like I am, any parent, is brokenhearted because your kids grew up with the visits to Toys R Us. It's where you went. And this iconic name and chain, 70 years in the making, is going out of business. We'll discuss that and more when Peter Till the 10 continues. 800-222-5222. And I will be right here, and we'll talk together right after the news.